الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور شيخ الله صلى Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, just to continue from where we left off in the last session, we touched the biography of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, a great companion of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, resting in the area of Madain, approximately 50 kilometers away from Baghdad, with Hazrat Salman Farsi. There are other two graves, famous graves of two companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala, a great companion, he was known as Sahib al-Sir. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed him of the events that are to take place in the future before the day of Qiyamah. And he also had the list of all the hypocrites, munafiqeen. An incredible sahabi. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that this list that I have given to you and what I have said to you should remain with you all the time. Don't reveal any information to anyone. That was the bay'ah, that is what he promised Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. Sahaba ikram ajma'een, when they promised, they fulfilled everything. There was one companion whose name is Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala. He made bay'ah, took an oath on the hands of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, that he will always be faithful to his Muslim brother. And he said that once he was in the market and he wanted to buy a horse, and his brother, the Sahabi that was selling the horse, he was desperate to sell it. He needed money. You get some people who want to sell their car quickly, and the right amount is not so important for them. They just want to get rid of that. This was the situation with that Sahabi. And Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah knew exactly of that condition with that Sahabi. And he said to him that, how much will you sell this horse to me? And he said, I'll sell this horse to you for 400. For 400 dirham. And he says, 400 dirham? We close the bay'ah. And he says, yes, 400 dirham is enough. Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah went around the horse to look at him and said that, no, I don't think 400 is enough for you. Let me give you an extra 200 dirham. So would we do that? We wouldn't do that, would we, my brothers? On the contrary, we would say, oh, 400 is too much. 350. We Asians are the masters when it comes to haggling. When you go to India or other countries, someone said to me that, go to any shop, ask them the price, and half it, then half it. And that's okay. So if something's there for 600 rupees, 300 or even lower, 250 or 200, and then it's okay. And he said, Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah says, no, I can't give you 400 for this horse. Give you 200 extra. So my companion says, it's entirely up to you, but I'm happy with 400. Hazrat said, no, After a bit, he went round looking at the horse again carefully, touching the skin, everything. He says, no, I think he's worth more than that also. Let me give you 100 dirham more. Kitna hai? Total? 700. I think it is either 700 or 800 dirhams. Allahu A'lam. And the bay was complete after that. Some of the companions that were around Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah, they said to him, Hazrat, he agreed with 400 dirham. Why did you want to give him 400, 500 riyals extra, dirham extra? And he says that I have taken an oath on the hands of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam that I will always be faithful to my Muslim brother. SubhanAllah. And this is how honest Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I always say just one drop of any companion inside is sufficient for us. One drop. SubhanAllah. So this great companion, Sahib al-Sir, a list of all the munafiqeen was given to him. And he never revealed any information who the munafiqeen were. The munafiqeen were free to come in the masjid in Madinatul Munawwara. And he would look at them all. And they would look at him because they knew that Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through wahi must have informed Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman of everyone and their condition and of all the events that is to take place before the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala once came to him, and how humble were the companions, how humble, subhanallah. And he says, Huzaifa, I want to ask you something. Is my name in the list of hypocrites? Mera naam hai munafiqin ki fehrist. Can you show it to me? Hazrat Huzaifa looked at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and smiled at him. No, your name is not in the list of hypocrites, and I am not allowed to show you the list of names that are given to me. It is said that in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and his khilafat, every time a janaza was brought forward in front of him to read Salatul Janazah, he would first turn around and look at his musalli and would look for Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman. If Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman was there, he would say Allahu Akbar and read Salatul Janazah. If Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman was not there, he would not read Salatul Janazah. He was so strong about it. And he says that I fear that maybe this man is a hypocrite, a munafiq. If he was not a munafiq, then I'm sure Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman would be present. SubhanAllah. So these were great people, great companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best people, my respected brothers. The best people after Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. SubhanAllah. And both of them, father and son, Huzaifa bin Yaman, accepted Iman exactly during the time of the battle of Badr, the very first battle between the Muslims and the Kafir. They were about to leave Makkatul Mukarramah, father and son, to meet Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam in Madinatul Munawwara. Whilst they were traveling, on the way, they met Abu Jahl with his powerful army. Very powerful army. And both of them, father and son, were captured. Abu Jahl said to them, that, where are you going? And he says, our destination is Madinatul Munawwara. He says, you want to go to Madinatul Munawwara so you can fight for the Muslims against us, against my army. And that was not their intention at all. So Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman said, no, we just want to go and meet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is our purpose. We don't want to fight with anyone. And he said that, no, I will not allow you to go. And they were taken as prisoners. But then the father and the son put pressure on Abu Jahl. Even though they were kuffar, my respected brothers, their tongues were very, very clean. They would speak the truth. the Arabs. And if they would say that we will not attack you, they will not attack you. If they say that you are my brother, that means you are my brother. Literally, they would treat you like a brother. And both father and son said to Abu Jahl, we promise you that we will not fight with the Muslims against you. And Abu Jahl at that time said to both of them that you are promising me, so I will not see you in the battlefield. And both of them said no. When they got to Madinatul Munawwara, they related the entire incident of what had happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that because you have promised Abu Jahl, imagine, kafir at that time. And at that time, the kuffar were threefold more than the Muslims. And they were armed to their teeth. They had all the weapons. Muslims didn't have anything. Exactly like Israel. Armed to the teeth. But nobody wants to do anything to Israel. Why? Because the security of Israel is so important. So important. And we are talking about this greater Israel. And everything is already divided, as Shabir Bhai was telling me. The plans are already there. Which division should go where, which division should go where, which division should go, and all Arab brothers are sleeping. MashaAllah. And Saudi Arabia is just bothered with Wahhabism. So when you go for Hajj, don't do taqleed, don't do taqleed, don't follow Abu Hanifa, don't follow Imam Malik, don't follow taqleed, that's all it is. They give you free Quran, free literature. That is all. No one has the power to say anything. Anything whatsoever. SubhanAllah. So they are armed to the teeth like how the Israelis are. But no intervention from the UN or any other army. And they haven't found anything in Iraq. Recently someone gave me an article of this area of Azamiyah, where the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is also resting. And even that area has been bombarded. And there is a lot of damage in that area. A'azumiyya. Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. My respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. That we open up our eyes. We are the followers of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, subhanallah, is it that Allah is naraz with us? Or is it that we are just following 100% of our carnal desires and passion and hawa, and that we are not engaged in tawbah and istighfar? Anyway, both of them were captured by Abu Jahl, then released. When they went to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, though that promise was made to Abu Jahl, the leader of the kuffar, but nevertheless it is still a promise. And a Muslim does not break his promise. Even in that condition, Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow Hazrat Huzaifa, who was a young man at that time, and the Muslims needed him, and his father to participate in the Battle of Badr. And he was deprived of that great honor, that badge of being the Badriyin Sahabi. But alhamdulillah, he participated in the Battle of Uhud, and it is in the Battle of Uhud that his father was made shaheed. Subhanallah al-Azim. Nevertheless, in that area, Madain, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman is resting, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and is resting with Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. Three graves are there. The most famous incident that had taken place with the two companions who are there, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, was in the year 1929. At that time in Iraq, Saddam Hussein was not the leader. Was he, Shabir? 1929? Who was it? King? Huh? It was the king. 1929. And the two companions, Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman and Abdullah bin Jabir were resting in the area of the river Dajla. Both the graves were there. It is said that the king at that time saw in his dream that both of the companions, Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman and Abdullah bin Jabir, are saying to him in his dream that the river of Dajla is entering into our graves. So why don't you do something about it? Block the water from entering into our graves. When he woke up, he just thought that it is just a dream maybe. For the second time he saw the same dream. For the third time he saw the same dream. And then it is said that also in Iraq at that time, one of their great alims saw the same dream which the king saw, and he came to the king and said that I have seen this dream. So the king said to him, I have also seen this dream. After that, everything was organized. The entire army came at that time. It was a massive event. Great publicity was given at that time that the two graves of the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be dug open. In fact, there were also screens there at that time, so thousands and thousands of people had gathered up to see, so they can see exactly what is happening. Some of the foreign dignitaries also came to Iraq at that time, and nothing like that has ever happened recently. The opening of the graves of two great companions. Perhaps the last incident was in Iraq in 1929. Some of them say that. How true this is, I don't know, but there is a possibility that when Haramain al-Sharifain was being built, the area where Safa Marwa is, the back part of it, and across you can see the king's palace. When that area was being dug up, some of them say that fresh bodies were also found in that area. Wallahu alam. We know the policy of Saudi Arabia. They love to keep everything in secret. But some of them have said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There is a great possibility. There is a great possibility that there were some great people, great pious people, if not companions, pious people resting in that area. And this work was done after the period of Hajj in 1929, because the Iraqis who went for Hajj, they said to their government that let us come and also witness this event. Everyone was there, and the qabr of Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman was opened up, and the qabr of Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Many people were there. There were screens for people to see also. It is said that there was a non-Muslim there, very close, who was an eye specialist. And when slightly the coffin of one of the companions opened up, he saw the eyes of the companion, and instantly, at that point, he recited Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. These were Arab Christians who were living there. And he was an eye specialist. Even for them, they wanted to see this moment. We get in Hindustan, a lot of Hindu people have faith in Muslim scholars, and they go for Taweez, and they go for Amaliyat, and they go to Dargah, you go to Sheikh Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi's Mazar, and with Muslims you'll find so many Hindus there also. So all of them were there gathered up for this massive event. And the coffin was opened up, and people had witnessed the face of these two companions, Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Every single part of their body was intact. They say that as if the body was fresh totally. Abi janaza mayyat hua ho. Everything. The face, and they could even see sort of blood flowing. The coffin was perfect. The whole body was perfect. And this was even mentioned everywhere in the newspapers at that time in 1929. It was a great story for the Muslims. And after that, their bodies were removed from that area, transferred to Mada'in, from Darya-i-Dajla towards Mada'in, and they were put in that area of Jamia Masjid where Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and is resting. That is where Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and the two companions are resting. And this is all because of the taqwa, my respected brothers. Like how the bodies of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam is absolutely solid. Also those who follow Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, their bodies never decompose. It is all intact. All the companions, all the Sahaba-i Kiram ajmain, every part of their body is mahfuz. Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam has said in the hadith that when a pious Muslim's ruh is taken out, before his ruh is taken out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him his place in Jannah. And there's another angel that whispers in his ear, exactly what I said to you in the Jummah khutbah today. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And the angels are there, and when the ruh is taken out, the angels are still there. When the ghusl of that mayyat is taking place, the angels are still there. And it is said that when the Muslimin carry the janazah of this pious person, the angels also participate and carry the janazah of this Muslim. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said that everyone can hear, except for insan, that the mayyat is saying, ajiluni, 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 don't waste time, quickly, quickly, take me to my qabr, quickly put me down, quickly, Jannat is in front of me, because he has seen his maqam, he has seen his place. And if someone who has been disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah save us all, my respected brothers. Allah ki zaat to be niyaz hai, my respected brothers, he is summoned. He is summoned. How he treats anyone, that is entirely up to him. May Allah save us. We haven't got nothing. The speaker is even weaker than the listeners, my respected brothers. Allah give me the tawfiq and all of you after that. And if someone who is gunahgar, he says to the people, Aina tazhabuna bi? Aina tazhabuna bi? Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Nobody there is going to listen to him. Go back to the pious person. When his janazah namaz is being performed, in the sufuf, Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam has said that the angels also join in with the Muslimin for his janazah namaz. And when they put him down, the angels are also there putting the mayyat down. And when the mitti, the earth, covers his entire body and that area that is opened up, everyone leaves him. His amal go inside. Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam has said that even the angels of rahmat, mercy, stay with him inside to accompany him. Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam in a hadith has said, one of the companions' habit was that when all of them go, he would stay behind and make dua for the mayyit, that, oh Allah, help him in answering all the questions. And some of the companions says that, why do you stay behind? He said that Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that when all of you go, one should remain behind and make dua for his relative or his close friend, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the tawfiq to answer correctly. And it is these three questions that need to be answered correctly. And if you can answer it correctly, subhanallah, everything opens up for you. And when he is a pious person, it is said that even though he is in a coffin, the angels lift him up properly, and the Munkar and Nakir are there. And they say to him, Mar Rabbuka, who is your Lord? Tumara Rabb kaun hai? Because he has been practicing all his life, he knows who Allah is. He will say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Then the angels will say, Ma deenuka, then what is your religion? He will say, Al-Islam. Mada taqulu bihaza rajul. And the face of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be shown to him. What is your opinion about this man, this pious man? Straight away he will say, Rasuluna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the mighty messenger. And another question will be put forward to him, how do you know that he is Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah? How do you know? They say that because of the Quran that was revealed to him, we have all this information. And that is it. Jannat is wajib on this individual. No matter what happens to him in Maidan-e-Hashr, he has passed his test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a'lan towards the angels who are close to him, holding the arsh, that this man has given correct answers. And he appoints, Allah appoints angels at that time, that go and take the special carpet, the special rug of Jannat, and put it down into his grave. Oh, Alhamdulillah, after performing Salat in Masjid Umar, when you go to, not putting any masjid down, Allahu Akbar, they are all the house of Allah, where Allah ka ghar hai. But just materialistically speaking, mashallah, the carpet is quite thick in Masjid Umar. So when we perform our rukus and sujood, it's quite comfortable. And sometimes, and even the masjid is quite new. When you go to some other areas, it's quite hard. Perhaps because this masjid is new, everything gets worn off after a bit. So special rugs from Jannat are lifted up for him from Jannat and brought down into the grave. Now we can't see all that. This is in the unseen world. The malaika can go down and go out whenever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the other angels, get the special clothes of the robes of Jannat, the libas of Jannat, and take his kafan out. So he is undressed in the qabr. No one to see him, special clothes are given to him. And after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, open the doors of Jannat for him, so the fragrance of Jannat comes to his grave directly. And this is his condition until the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this condition, my respected brother. But before that we have to work very hard. For the kuffar, for those who are the disbelievers, clothes of Jahannam come. The rug of Jahannam, khas libas taf, will be brought down. The doors of Jahannam is opened up for him. And that punishment he will receive until the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. My respected brothers, these are some of the events that have taken place with some of the companions in Iraq, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, and a man by the name of Hazrat Sulaiman bin Muhammad, who was the author of this great kitab written on Durood Sharif, Dalailul Khairat. Dalailul Khairat. It is also said about him, famously known, that when you go to his grave, there is this fragrance that is only exclusive to his grave, kashturi ki tarah. And kashturi smell comes out from his qabr. It is even famously known that if you go to the grave of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, there is fragrance coming out from the grave of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. In Pakistan, some of the scholars have said that Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayhi's qabr, and if you go to his grave also, this khushbu is out. But we also have to have that nose. If we go and we say, oh, we've been there, Maulana, I've been to Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi's grave, there's no fragrance. We haven't got that nose, my respected brothers. We haven't got that nose. Only a pilot knows how to fly and everything. Massive engine in front of him. It is like that person who fainted, and when he fainted, someone put perfume in front of him, and he was a bhangi, the one who would clean all the toilets and the gutters. But he fainted, and he put the best of perfume in front of him, put onions to bring him back to consciousness. Nothing. The fainter knows the story now. Nothing happened. But he's not used to that smell, you see. He's been working always in that environment where it always stinks and smells. So someone said to him, well, what's happening? He's very little. He's unconscious. He has fainted. He says, I know him. He's a bangi. The bangi hai, right? He went and he got along with him some napaki and put it close to his nose, and straight away he woke up. And the people were shocked. How come? But he is used to his environment. So the ulama have written that when you go to the grave of Imam Bukhari, there is khushbu coming out. You go to Maulana Ahmad Abi Lahori's grave, there is khushbu coming out. And I add one more thing, that you go to Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi's grave, and I have personally experienced this in Jang. And you go to his grave and there is khushbu coming out from his grave also. But you need that nose, you need that nose to smell it. The more taqwa you have, the more things come close to you. Spirituality is with you. So that Muhammad bin Sulaiman, Kashturi smell would come out from his grave. He said after 77 years, for some reason they had to dig his grave, open up, and to move his body, his mayyat, from one area to another area. It is said that after 77 years, the kafan was absolutely intact. Some people were there. One of them opened up the face of Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman bin Muhammad. And they say that even the hair of Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman bin Muhammad's beard was so fresh as if someone has just passed away one or two days ago. Yani, dari ka jo khat hota hai, wo bhi mahfuz, the shape of the beard. It is written that one man there thought that he was alive, and just to make sure that he's not alive, even after 77 years, he poked his one finger on the cheek of Hazrat Sulaiman bin Muhammad. It is said when he poked his finger, he could see blood flowing from the inside. You think cheek ko aap karenge to this blood, as khoon hai. He could see blood flowing. Subhanallah. And this is the maqam of these great people. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't say for those people who have died and who have become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are shaheed, that they are amwat, dead people. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. But they are alive. They are alive. We cannot sense it, but they are alive. This was Hazrat Sulaiman bin Muhammad. There was another buzrug whose name was Hazrat Maulana Bastani. And his incident, his story is ajeeb. They said that when they put him down in the grave, again for some reason they had to open up the grave. And these are waqiyats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show. And that is the only reason these events take place. They opened up his qabr and the planks you put on top, and underneath is the mayyat. They realized that when they removed the planks, the hole was even deeper that was dug. And they saw Hazrat Maulana Bastani standing up in his qabr, and he is doing qiyam and he is in his salah. Can you imagine? Agar hum aisi cheez dekh le to kya ho? Ashibai, what would you do? You stop working for the CBCs, won't you? And just to tasbih here and make Allah Allah, you know, well, what a great honor. Huh? And they saw this man standing in his grave. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said about Anbiya alayhi salam, yusalluna wa yurzakuna, that they perform salat in their graves and rosy comes to them. Food is given to them all the time. Don't ask me, is it twice a day or three times a day? That I don't know. All I know is that rosy comes to them. Wa yurzakuna. Allah Rabbul Alameen unko rosy pahunchate hai. And the famous story of Musa alayhi salam and Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Mi'raj. He saw Musa alayhi salatu wa salam performing salam. And the people who opened up the grave, they shut it again, went to some of the family members. The sister was there and they said that this is the condition we saw of your brother. What is so special about your brother? And the sister said, for 30 years my brother performed Fajr Salat with the wuzu of Isha. For 30 years my brother performed Fajr Salat with the wuzu of Isha. And every time before the muazzin would give azan for Fajr Salat, my brother would make dua and would say, Ya Allah, if you would give anyone the opportunity to perform salat in their graves, in their qabr, Ya Allah, give it to me. The lazzat I find in my salat, I don't have that lazzat in anything else. Even when I die, Ya Allah, let me perform salat in my qabr also. And this was his only dua for 30 years. And the people there said to the sister that the dua, the sincere dua of your brother has been accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. We end the session by mentioning some of the great miracles that concern the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala an, wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير رحمتك يا رب العالمين.